It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidan, presented by Women's Excellence.
October can be a very scary month, Dr. Zaidan, and we're not talking about Halloween. We're talking about very important healthcare decisions that have to be made at most places of employment at this time of year.
Well, you know, they talk about spring cleaning and then they talk about fall cleaning, right? And so we wrap things up both medically and for our personal lives all the time. And October, I think, is a very important month. We see it every year in our practice where people want to get things done, mainly because of their insurance, but also just because I think it's a kind of that end of year rite of passage. I want to clean all this stuff up so I can start the new year fresh.
And that you want to make sure you have the right kind of coverage going forward in the new year. And of course, that's where you come in.
For sure. And I think people make decisions and oftentimes save money on their, you know, deductibles and things like that that they do for the following year if they know they've taken care of all of the problems in the year before, right? So I think that ultimately shapes how they maybe choose their insurance for the following year. People know now and they're paying much more attention to what they're actually buying when they're buying insurance. It never was like that before. People had no idea what their policies were, their deductibles. They didn't really even know anything about the terminology of healthcare insurance. And now people are starting to understand it. And because they understand it, they're starting to utilize it in a better way for their own benefit. And I think that's very important. That's kind of why we thought we would talk about this today, because women are out there wondering what do they need to do to make things better.
And we're going to help you understand all the ins and outs, hopefully, of healthcare coming up in the new year. You're listening to The Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. You're listening to The Healthy Woman Show, and we're talking about a very important aspect of healthcare, especially for women, and that is the choices you make at year end for your healthcare coverage. Dr. Zaidan, I'm so glad you picked this topic for today's show, because we're going through that here in my company. So a lot of us are walking around saying, do you understand this? Do you know what this means? So we completely understand.
Well, you know, I see patients every day. As you know, I'm still a very, very active practitioner. I have a full practice and probably see as many patients or more patients than most practicing physicians. And one of the things I hear all the time is, well, is my insurance going to cover that?
Absolutely.
How much is my out-of-pocket going to be for that? And I never heard that. You know, 20 years ago when I did healthcare, it was all about me telling them what their problem was and them kind of reiterating whether or not they felt that they wanted that problem fixed, if it was an elective issue or if it was a necessary issue, what was the recovery going to be? That was the extent of our discussion. It's not like that anymore. Now, a lot of questions about insurance. How am I going to pay for this? You know, I'm more accountable for what I do, and it's a lot about outcomes and communication. So, you know, that's why at Women's Excellence, we are really focusing on our communication patterns because, you know, people need to know things and they need to know it quicker. And there's a lot more communication, which really bogs down phone lines and all those things. Why we have different things like live chat in place, because people want to understand things and they want to understand it relatively quickly. They would like to have an answer because as they've become more accountable for their healthcare, as physicians and practices, we're more accountable for giving them information. And I think that's the most important thing that we can do as a physician is not only to tell them what they need for their health, but also how is that going to affect their pocketbook too?
Let's talk a little bit about live chat. A lot of practices don't do this, but you do. You're very much into this new technology, if you will. I don't know if it's that new, but so that your patients can actually call in and have a chat with somebody and they can get a question answered right away. Is this test covered or should I select this for my health insurance? They can get that answered.
Well, my biggest frustration as a patient, being a healthcare consumer, is It seems like once you are in the system, you're in this vacuum or a void of actually getting any information. You're kind of just following along and everybody's kind of dictating care for you. You know, if you're in the hospital and you're sick, you know, people come in for 5 minutes and they see you in the morning and then you don't see them for the rest of the day and you really don't know how your day is going to end up, you know, for the rest of the day while you're in the hospital until you see them the next day. And then heaven forbid, if you're in the bathroom when the doctor comes around and you may not see him for another day. And we see the same, you know, you come into the office, you spend that time, you have a great office visit. And then there are always those things, right? Life so complex now, so much different than it used to be. Used to be you signed up for cable, you got your cable. Now you sign up for cable, there's an extra bill, there's an extra fee, there's an extra thing you have to sign up. You have to get some sort of permit from your municipality to bring the line to your house. There's so much more complications. Same with healthcare. Right?
Absolutely.
And so what we want to do when we have things like live chat is we want people to get to us easier and faster. We can't answer every question on live chat, but what we can do is initiate the discussion and get it where it needs to be so that people can get an answer. And that's what we want to be. We want to be that company, Women's Excellence, that is taking care of our patients and not just taking care of ourselves.
Right.
That's the most important thing that I think that we talk about as an administrative team. At Women's Excellence, we want to look out for how does the patient experience us as a customer, not how do we get out of that experience? How does our providers get something out of that experience? It's not about us. It's about you, right? And that's why we did live chat. And you know, it's a very good success. I mean, it's exponentially gone up. We talked about this on the radio not that long ago. Yeah. I mean, the amount of visits that we get on the online chat are big. You had mentioned, I think, that you would talk to somebody. You actually don't talk to somebody. What you do is you get online, you go to the right-hand lower corner of our website, and you type in your question,
right.
And somebody gets back with you.
And it's within seconds.
Yeah.
To be clear, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's absolutely how it works. And then, you know, and then we have other things that are coming out that I am very excited about, and that's our electronic medical record. Everybody now is you know, used to accessing their information, right, on the portals that people have. I like a lot of the hospitals now have electronic portals, some of our reference labs like Quest Diagnostics, you can get your labs. The problem is that all that information is great, but the internet gives you all the information that you would need about anything. But that doesn't mean that we know how to use it.
Absolutely.
I don't know how to fix my furnace just because I could download. I could download every step on how to fix my furnace, but I don't always have the tools. I don't always have the knowledge to use the tools, even if I had them. And I don't always know how to sequence the repair. And that's the same with people when they're accessing their medical record. They're accessing all this information. It's scary. So what we're doing from Women's Excellence perspective is we're doing something that I don't believe anyone has done in the country, and that we're looking at how do we map the information that we provide with the message that we want to give the patient. And we want to do that with technology, so it makes it better. So when you're a Women's Excellence patient and you have an ultrasound in our office, it says screening ultrasound, for example, if it's for a baby. It doesn't say something more complex like what the insurance companies require us to put in for billing, screening for fetal abnormalities of your fetus.
Frightening.
Very frightening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are changing that game on the technology front so that we can display information that people understand. We're not going to change the information. It's not
right.
going to be not accurate information. It's going to be very accurate information. It's just going to be in the terms that people understand, because not everybody understands what their hemoglobin means. Some do. Some of our listeners are like, I know what hemoglobin is. Others have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
Or if the number's high or if it's low, and what does that mean to you and your general
And how do I
right?
deal with it?
Right.
How do I I mean, what does it mean? Is it, you know, and if somebody calls our office and says, well, what happens? I saw that this number was a little high, and we say, oh, that's not a problem. We see that every day. We don't want people to get inundated with information that they don't really understand that causes anxiety. Because one of the big things I'm seeing in our practice today is people are so anxious about everything because nothing in the world today seems seamless.
And that impacts their general health, and that's where you come in, right?
Absolutely. If we can make a difference, at least in the information we display, then they will feel better.
What is the difference between deductible, co-pays, co-insurance? There's so many questions that surround our topic today. You're listening to The Healthy Woman Show. It continues here on WJR. Stay with us. We'll be right back. So many of you who are listening to our show have been faced with this reality here towards the end of October, and that is having to select your healthcare selections for the new year, and they can be very confusing. What's the difference between a deductible, a copay, coinsurance? Great questions for our next guest, Dr. Zaden. Joining us is someone you know very well. Kathy Cheney is the Director of Financial Responsibility for Women's Excellence, so we're glad she could join us.
It's a pleasure to have her on the show, actually.
Yeah.
You know, good to give her knowledge to our patients.
Oh, because, yeah.
You know, as they're listening to these shows, they may also gain some knowledge so that, you know, Kathy's phone rings less. And and honestly, this is all about making it better for the patient. The more that they know and the more we can educate them, the better it's going to be for them over, you know, and their responsibilities, because they'll know how to utilize their health care insurance. Because now it's a tool, and I'm sure Kathy will give us a lot of input that I don't even know about.
And also, we want to bring in Jessica Roussette. She's a patient outreach coordinator for Women's Excellence. We're glad you could join us today, Jessica.
Glad
As always, you're always welcome, and we're always glad to have you on board. So, Kathy, Dr. Zaden just told us in the last segment how much anxiety patients have today about healthcare before they even see him.
Yes, there is a lot of questions, and it's always in a changing industry right now. So there are many questions that patients do have, and they do need to read their fine print of their policies to see what they are entitled to.
You know, Kathy, you know, back in the day, I said, you know, 20 years ago, I mean, it was all about what we were going to do for the patient. I'd explain what their problem was, whether they decided to do it or they didn't, if it was elective or if it was more emergent. Obviously, they had to do it, and what their recovery was going to be. That was our discussions in the room. It's no longer like that. You know, now it's more about, you know, their deductible and when they can do it, and, you know, even limitations of time off of work and all those things, FMLA benefits. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of things. But the first thing is, I don't think a lot of people really understand this stuff. I think that people are much more knowledgeable about it today. But, you know, with it being October and people utilizing their insurance to the best of its ability, I thought maybe it would be a good idea for you to explain, and maybe terms that I wouldn't even explain, it, what is a deductible? What is their deductible? Because people always ask me, I don't really know what my deductible is. What's my deductible? And I have to tell them as a physician, I don't know what your deductible is. But what would you tell somebody about not only what their deductible is, but how do they know what it is?
A deductible is a dollar amount that a policyholder needs to pay out of pocket before the insurance will kick in and start paying their portions on any of the services. Typically, if you have a high deductible insurance, you're going to have a lower premium, a monthly premium. And the reverse is also correct, which is a high premium and a low deductible. These are some things you need to consider when you are picking a policy.
And the premium, right, is how much they pay every month, right? That's the bill you get, like $500 a month you pay for your health care insurance. That's your premium, right?
Correct. A premium is the monthly cost of your insurance, and that is not a deductible. The deductible is something else that you still have to meet before your insurance pays on the policy.
And most people have that premium paid through their employer, and they just pay a little portion of it, right? I mean,
that is correct.
And so I would imagine a lot of our patients kind of get confused with, well, I'm already paying $140 a pay period or $100 a pay period or whatever.
Sometimes a lot more than that,
well,
too, right?
Yeah, whatever. And then I thought that was my deductible. Is that how people get that confusion?
Yes, they do. The term between premium and deductible, patients do confuse that. And like I stated, premium is a monthly cost for the insurance, but a deductible can waiver anywhere from like $1,000 to $5,000, depending on what policy you do pick.
And then how does somebody, you know their deductible? I mean, this is like the simplest question, but as I'm sitting here asking you, I'm thinking to myself, first of all, off the top of my head, I don't know what my own deductible
is. What your own is, huh? Dr. Zaden.
And second of all, I'm sure if I needed to find out, I would probably ask one of you guys. But how does somebody who, you know other than calling their human resource department, I guess, if they get it through their job, how do you find out your deductible?
Usually the paperwork is given to them in the insurance picking period, October, November. They can see the fine print then, but they can also call the number on the back of their insurance card. There's usually a number and also a website they can go to, and they can always put in the policy numbers and get information that way.
And I'm sure you probably recommend to patients to do that so they could become more familiar. I mean, I don't know what you do every day, you know, in your job, but I mean, educating them is probably the best way, right? So
a better formed inpatient is also best. That's how you're going to get the most benefits out of your insurance that you're paying for.
Right, and you're paying for that.
And then to add to the confusion, you have copays on top of your deductible, on top of your premiums. So how does the copay different than the deductible?
A copay is a fixed dollar amount when you go into an office visit. That's what your responsibility as a patient is going to be. It could be like $25, $40, $50. It does depend on the policy. There is also coinsurance, which usually kicks in after the deductible has been met. And a coinsurance is usually a percentage, which is placed on like a procedure or surgery that might have been done. That would be the patient's responsibility.
And we're able to tell patients what their copay is. You know, there's no surprises. When they schedule an appointment, we can let them know what they're going to be paying out of pocket.
Yes, copays are a fixed amount, correct.
But the coinsurance isn't, right? So, because I get questions about that, right? Doesn't it vary based on...
It's a percentage of the cost of the procedure, correct.
Right.
It could be an 80-20 percentage where the patient might pay 20, but it also could be a different percentage too. But it is the patient's responsibility. It is like a copay, but it's more on procedures.
And once you've met your deductible, does your coinsurance go away, or do you still
no,
have...
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. So you still... So even if you've met your deductible, there's still a potential that you may have some charges.
Correct. You would have some charges, yes.
It doesn't sound like insurance is as much insurance as it used to be.
Yeah.
It does not cover as much.
Like our parents' insurance, right? A question is, if I feel that I need to have some kind of exam, let's just say my annual visit, maybe earlier than scheduled, you know, you're supposed to have that once a year, can I do that? Is there ever a circumstance that I can do that, or do I absolutely have to wait?
I would suggest to get the most out of your insurance to wait the year and a day to get that benefit that you have paid for. Some insurances do allow you one in the calendar year, but you would always have to check with your insurance company to verify that.
And is it my responsibility to check with the insurance company? I know I see sometimes there's notes up in the office, you know, in the waiting room or in the exam room saying it's your responsibility to know your deductibles and all that. So is it mine, or can I ask the office staff to help with that? Or what is the correct procedure?
You can ask the office staff, but really it is your responsibility. Insurances are going to tell the patient more than the office because you are paying for that policy. So you can get a lot more information out of the insurance companies than we can.
Is it sometimes that the insurance company will tell the patient maybe a different thing than they tell us? Or do you think that's just miscommunication? I'm assuming it's just miscommunication, because sometimes the patient will say, well, I called my insurance company and they said they would cover this, but, you know, you're saying that it's not covered. How does that work? I mean, I'm sure you get confronted with this.
Yes, we do. And we always have to go back and look. It could be a diagnosis, or it could be just something on the patient's policy that they haven't met or qualified for. It is a sticky situation when it is like that, because sometimes the patients don't always ask the right questions to the insurance company.
Right.
So if they do call our office, we can get them more information to give them to notify the insurance company, and they would be a better formed consumer that way.
I have one question. I think that's a burning question, because I know it's applicable. So there's PPOs and there's HMOs. First of all, what would you recommend someone to get if you could have either one? And what are the goods and bads of both?
If cost is not an element, I would prefer a PPO. That is preferred provider organization. It's more flexible for the patient. They can see specialists that they want, but the premiums are usually a little bit higher with PPOs. An HMO is a health maintenance organization. The patient has to establish a PCP, which is a primary care provider, and they need to get referrals to see specialists. Premiums are usually lower with these HMOs, so it is really a cost effect of how the patient would like to go.
Kathy, is it true that if someone's younger, an HMO may be a better option because they have less interaction, let's be real, with physicians than perhaps someone who is older? Is that still true?
That is true. If you don't feel like you have major health concerns, an HMO would probably be a better way to go and cheaper for the patient, more cost effective.
Kathy, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. You've answered so many questions. Dr. Zaden, as you said, you hate to see the anxiety in your patients when you come into the exam room before you've even delivered any information for this person.
I'll tell you, I think this all the time, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. I mean, I think my job is becoming the easiest job in the office because, the watershed event from what I perform, unfortunately, everybody kind of has to clean up. And that is, we see somebody and maybe they have an abnormal pap smear, and the abnormal pap smear, is something that we just deal with, right? We got to do this procedure,
right.
And then of course, when the bills come in, and they come in from multiple sources, and you know, Kathy has to answer those questions. I mean, they sometimes patients are are concerned about a bill that didn't even come from our office. Maybe it came from an outside lab or a pathologist or whatever, and so they're constantly doing that. And you know, I hope we talk about it all the time at Women's Excellence, but I hope that we can be that company that starts to make all of this a little more transparent for the patient, because I think that people are accepting of things that they understand. But when you don't understand it and you're put in a corner where you have this huge bill, I mean, it's really tough for Kathy and for Jessica at Patient Outreach to really, you know, kind of calm these people down and let them understand that what their problem is and how to deal with it, because they didn't understand it in the first place. And I think that if we don't get better as an organization of medical professionals, and I'm talking about all specialists, all doctors, all hospitals, all labs, at making our costs and fees a little bit more transparent, no wonder we're having so much anxiety in our patients.
We've been talking with Kathy Cheney. She's the Director of Financial Responsibility for Women's Excellence, and Jessica Rosette, Patient Outreach for Women's Excellence. But we will have so much more to talk about here as we really get into this topic of managing your year-end healthcare resources. You're listening to The Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Dr. Zaidan, we've been talking, of course, about these year-end choices for healthcare resources that people are faced with at this time of year. But we also wanted to bring in a special guest, someone from your practice, Women's Excellence, Dr. Keenan Asbahi, to talk a little bit about what has to get done by the end of the year, right? Because there's a lot of stuff that if you haven't gotten it done, you really should be thinking about it.
Well, you know, it's great to talk about all these things at an administrative level, but it really gets down to the provider. And Keenan has graciously given us a few moments of his time, you know, to kind of outline that. And I think that's something that patients want to hear. I'm going to call you Keenan, but Dr. Asbahi, I'll be formal. but what are the preventative, services and stuff that people should be thinking about? It's October. Their deductibles are, you know, probably met in many cases. You know, what should they be looking to do before the end of the year?
Well, things that patients should be looking forward to do at the end of the year generally is their annual exam if they haven't had their annual exam. The annual exam is a vital assessment with the clinician and the patient. It really does establish a good relationship with the patient. It really helps identify and prevent medical diseases, also identify any risk factors for any diseases, as well as identify any medical problems. A lot of times during our annual exams, we do go into different screening modalities as well as different types of immunizations based on patient's age and laboratory work based on patient's age.
So when you're seeing a person for your annual, I mean, I know, you know, I don't see, I still see people for annual exams, of course, but, you know, I see a lot more kind of specialty type work, and I know you do that too, and we'll talk about it. But when you're seeing them for their annual, right, you're kind of assessing their whole health. And it's really important to kind of get that general picture once a year, because people, I think, nowadays are talking about their annual exam like, well, I heard I don't have to have my annual exam, you know, till every 3 years. I know there's been some guideline changes, right, with pap smears, that we don't have to do them every year on everyone based on, you know, some Medicare guidelines and so on and so forth. But as a whole, I mean, I still recommend an annual exam every year. I mean, how are we going to get to know the patient when they do have a problem, or if they have a problem, or if they even have an elective issue that we want to address, right? I mean, are you still recommending yearly annuals?
Correct. I recommend yearly annuals on patients that are over the age of 21. Definitely. For the things I mentioned earlier, really identifying any new medical problems that we haven't identified in the past year, as well as establishing a very good clinician relationship with the patient. You're right. In terms of, there is guideline saying that you don't need a pap smear every 3 years. However, an annual exam is different than a pap smear. It really it's a focus based on the entire health of the patient.
Well, I know that you have such a good rapport with your patients. I mean, I know that, you know, when one of my patients that's been a legacy patient comes and sees you, they really appreciate you. And I think the part of that is because you're so thorough. And, you know, so, you know, you had, what are the tests that you order, like, you know, the screening tests, you know, for your annual exam? And you know, how, what would you tell the patients that they need to have? Let's say it's a 40-year-old patient.
So in a patient that's 40 years old, one thing I always recommend is a clinical breast exam, basically a clinician performing an annual exam of the breast, as well as mammography. Mammography is the gold standard for breast imaging screening modality.
Well, I know that because that's why we brought mammograms into our office, right? We said we're not going to have people miss their mammograms anymore. And what you just said about clinical breast exam, I have to say, there is a patient currently in our office, I'm sure you've heard about, who actually was examined by our nurse practitioner in a very thorough way, was identified that she had an actual mass. She got a mammogram. The mammogram was read as benign. And as a result of that, it was kind of filed away. And our nurse practitioner said the clinical exam was not consistent, and she had counseled the patient. Had we not done a clinical breast exam, we would not know that she had an advanced stage breast cancer. The nurse practitioner in this case, her name is Jennifer Myers, she identified that this mammogram was inconsistent with the clinical findings that she found, and actually took it to the next level, called the patient, who, when she got the mammogram report, thought that she was normal and didn't need to follow up with the ultrasound that Jennifer had ordered. I mean, this is an amazing story. And I think it's kind of that teamwork approach, right? I mean, you're using the radiologist to detect some stuff, like with mammography, and then you're also using your clinical, you know, acumen, and you're using their history, and you put it all together, and we get a good outcome. In this case, we have a treatable cancer. Had this been another year, because it's an advanced stage, this patient may not have a good long-term survival, which I think is amazing. I'm glad you brought it up, because so many people now are saying, well, I heard we don't have to have breast exams, and I hear we don't have to have annuals. What other things are you recommending to do, I mean, other than the clinical breast exam?
For older patients, I definitely recommend osteoporosis screening. This is strictly a screening to identify patients that are increased risk of a low trauma fracture. That's the key word. It's a low trauma fracture. Generally, I recommend all my patients that are 65 and above, as well as any postmenopausal woman with increased risk factors for any fractures.
Yeah, I think having a fracture is key. So do you also check like calcium, vitamin D?
Correct. So based on their age, I order the appropriate laboratory workup. And I also recommend for all my patients dietary calcium and vitamin D.
I'll tell you what, so many people come in and I realize that nobody's ever counseled them about these things. And I think the preventative stuff is actually where we want to be. We talked about that in a show in the past. I mean, as a company, Women's Excellence wants to make sure that we maintain our patients' health and that we're dealing quickly and finding things early when they do have a breach in their overall general health. Such as a bladder control problem or an ovarian or breast problem, we want to make sure that we find it early. And the way to do that is exactly what you said, with screening. You know, and so are there some things that you would recommend to people? I mean, it's the end of deductible time, right? So, you know, people have met them again. What things can people do now, maybe before the end of the year and get in, if they have a problem that might ultimately make their life better, maybe non-emergent, but, you know, it could be covered under their insurance?
Depending on patients' symptoms, we do have a lot of patients that do come in with abnormal uterine bleeding or irregular periods. One thing a lot of patients don't know about, besides the medical treatment, is non-invasive procedures that can be done in a relatively quick amount of time or short amount of time, and some minimally invasive procedures. Things such as a dilation and curettage, which is primarily used to help stop women that are bleeding acutely, as well as a hysteroscopy. Hysteroscopy is a vital tool. It's both diagnostic and therapeutic, specifically for any intrauterine pathology. The other thing I really enjoy is an endometrial ablation. This is basically surgical destruction of the lining of the uterus to help patients stop bleeding.
And you could do that in the office. I mean, we do that. I do all mine in the office. I'm sure you're doing the same.
It's correct. You do that in the office. It takes less than 20 minutes to perform. Most women are back to work within a day or two, and the most common complaint after that type of procedure is cramps for 24 to 72 hours.
And they don't get periods, I always quote my patients about 90% of the time.
Correct. So when you look at the studies, it's about 90% of the time for that.
Yeah, and if they're not, I mean, I even the ones that kind of don't get completely free of their periods, usually their bleading is markedly less.
And that is a treatment for what?
Really for irregular bleeding. Okay. You know, and it's that's something
so bleeding between periods and something like that.
That's 100%. I mean, that's something that somebody could get done. Like if they're having heavy periods right now, they could come to one of our offices in Women's Excellence, get evaluated completely, and probably have everything done before the end of the year and stop their periods. I mean, that would be something to get done. What about bladder control? I mean, do you recommend, like, I do a lot of bladder work, so I always recommend my patients to, you know, get evaluated, you know, at this time of the year, because, you know, they've already met their deductible, and that's truly an elective procedure. I mean, if they're leaking with cough or sneeze, you know, that's a good thing to get done. I mean, they you know, may not have the out-of-pocket costs that they would have in the beginning of the year, and it could get done. Do you recommend that to your patients?
Absolutely. That's one of the common complaints I generally get when I see my patients in their annual exams. They say, oh yeah, by the way, I'm leaking when I cough or when I run or when I jog. A lot of patients know the routine, you know, pelvic floor therapy exercises, but they don't know about the minimally invasive surgical procedures that can be used for these types of patients. There's things such as Botox injections that can be used. It's injected into the posterior bladder. There's things such as mid-urethral slings, which are generally very quick to perform, and they help alleviate those symptoms, and with a high success rate of up to 89% with that. With the slings.
That's exactly what I see. I mean, when I play slings, I would tell you 9 out of 10 people are better. And now that we're so comprehensive, where we have the option to give, you know, periurethral bulking agents, Botox therapy, you know, other items such as InterStim. I mean, we're getting the majority of our patients dry, or at least, you know, 90, 95% better. I mean, it's amazing.
Right.
And then also, now's a good time. I mean, I'll bring it up, is that, you know, if you're at the end of the year, you know, sometimes being evaluated for menopause can, you know, can be a little pricey because you have a lot of laboratories that you have to draw and things like that to look at your hormone levels. You know, I'll oftentimes tell people, you know, this is a good time to work it up. You know, so if you're having symptoms of menopause or and you know that you might want some treatment for that, you know, now's a good time to do it, because in the beginning of the year, all those laboratories that we would draw and all the testing that we would draw maybe to potentially help you with the condition would all go to your deductible, whereas now it might be already met.
For some of these procedures and surgeries that both of you are talking about that are necessary for quality of life for so many of your patients, how long would it take for the average patient then to actually come in to get the procedure done? Are you looking a few days or a couple weeks? I mean, how long does it usually take?
I think it depends, you know, a little bit about, you know, our you know, backlog as a provider. But I think at Women's Excellence, I mean, in many cases, you could be seen within a couple of days by one of our providers, because we always are a little bit ahead on amount of providers versus, you know, patients. And the reason we do that is because we're a growth practice, and we believe that somebody wants, you know, if we want somebody sick, they need to get in right away. You can't really talk the talk without walking the walk. So if you're going to be a practice that's there for the patient, right, you have to have people that can take care of the patient. You can't call and say, okay, I'm sick, and they say, okay, well, we'll get you in 8 weeks. It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't work that way.
But it really is dependent a little bit per provider. Like if somebody says, hey, I absolutely want to see Dr. Zaid, it might take a little bit longer. That's a perfect example. Like, you know, Dr. Spahi and I both do, you know, pelvic pain, you know, and, you know, so it may take a little bit longer to get in with myself, but, you know, we could potentially, you know, have those patients get in with a nurse practitioner and then see one or two, either myself or Dr. Spahi, you know, and get that done even before the end of the year. I mean, how do you work when you see a patient with pelvic pain? Would you be able to evaluate a patient before the end of the year, Keenan?
Yep, absolutely. Generally speaking, I see patients within a day or two of them calling. I mean, I do get a lot of phone calls, patients calling the office saying they need to be seen today for example, heavy bleeding. And I tell them, our staff, get them on my schedule. I'll see them regardless. Whatever time they need to be, I'll see them.
Well, that's why everybody's so happy with you, right?
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Keenan Aspahi, we want to thank you so much for joining us today here on WJR for the Healthy Woman Show. You've been a wealth of information. So your advice is, if you're thinking or sitting on maybe that last appointment before the end of the year, you're saying, get it done. Come on in. It's easy.
Correct. Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, I you know, as we talk, I totally see. I mean, what you said at the end is exactly why everybody always says so many great things about you, Keenan, and that, you know, I think that's exactly how I feel. I want to get people in. Like, ultimately, I want to get people in. And you can't always do that, right? Sometimes you have to rely on our nurse practitioners or, you know, or whatever. I personally would like to take care of everyone myself for every problem. And obviously, we know that that's not possible. But you're the exact same way I am. You want to just fit these people in. And you know, I think patients really appreciate that.
Dr. Aspahi, thank you so much for joining us today on Healthy Woman. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Zaidan, so much helpful information for our listeners today as they're making these important healthcare choices for themselves and their families here at year end, their end of year healthcare resources. They're making those choices. We left off our last interview with Dr. Aspahi talking about how important it is that when a patient calls, they get a timely appointment. And I know that's something you're really fussy about.
Well, I mean, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, in an office, there's always competing agendas. Everybody that's been in a doctor's office, accounting office, lawyer's office, whatever, you know, there's always agendas of, you know, everybody wants to keep the schedule perfect. But, you know, we're in a business of healthcare. And, you know, the patients rely on us because, you know, it's their most personal item of anything. And as a result of that, I believe very seriously that we have to have somebody available at all times to see them. And that's why we have our nurse practitioners and the amount of physicians that we have, is that we want to make sure that we're available. The other thing is that we can get people started in their treatment plan early. So it doesn't take, you know, if you have to come to a super specialist sometimes, it takes 10 weeks to get to them. And then when they see you, they say, okay, we got to order some tests. And then it's another 10 weeks to get right back in their schedule. In our business model and, you know, our patient care model, it's more about, let's see you, figure out what's going on with you, get your testing, and then get you in with the specialist. And all of that should happen in a couple of weeks. It should be, you should be able to be seen in a day or two. And that's what we're really going for. And that's why, again, you know, I'll go over it. You know, that's why we have the website we have. That's why we have live chat. That's why we have blogs and news updates for our practice. That's why we put together mammography. I mean, it's October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We had Saturday mammography, you know, because, you know, it's not easy to get a mammogram tech to work Saturdays. But, you know, we said, you know what, we're going to open up on Saturdays because it's the right thing to do. And each one of our slots were full. I mean, it's all about the patient and getting it more convenient. We've said that over and over again. And if we don't do that as a company, people can't get their health care the way they need it. And that is the way that they can experience it, meaning that after hours, you know, I work in the office on Thursdays until 8 o'clock. Why? Because my patients, some of them can't take off during the day. I start at one of our offices at 7:30. Why? People need to go before they go to work. And then there's the testing that happens during the middle of the day. But, you know, in a healthcare episode, it might require an initial consultation and a wrap-up visit and then the procedure. And, you know, when you think of it from that perspective, when it's not just the annual exam, but when it is those things, that's 3 or 4 days out of your life that you got to take. And we're trying to make that a little bit better and then communicate with you a little bit easier. And that's what it's all about.
And again, the website is womensexcellence.com. So easy to remember, womensexcellence.com. Again, you can kind of get an idea of the flavor of the practice and how it works. You can learn more about Dr. Zaidan, of course, who co-hosts our show here. I mean, dynamic in the studio, of course, and I'm sure very dynamic also when you provide your care to your patients, Dr. Zaidan. This is your passion.
I'm proud of what I do, but honestly, the team that we have at Women's Excellence is amazing. It's an amazing group of individuals. Everywhere I go, they talk about it now. We went out yesterday to get some information about a brand new device that's going to help women with incontinence in a non-invasive way, at least for mild incontinence, and then help them maintain their pelvic floor over time. I only bring that up because what did they say the first thing? You know, you have an amazing team of people. Why? Because they see that we're all invested, we all care, and we have a plan. It's not just that we're going to bring on a new piece of equipment. It's that we have a plan on how we're going to bring that equipment on so that we can maximize it to make it the best for our patients and the most cost effective. That's not what everybody thinks about. That's what we think about at Women's Excellence. So I got to thank my team. The team at Women's Excellence are amazing people.
Thank you, Dr. Zaidan, for joining us as always here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. And we'll be seeing you again next time, right here on The Healthy Woman Show.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.